Amen.
Before we jump into this, I'm going to put a couple people on the spot here, just a couple people here, real quick. Corey, come up here, Corey. Come up here real quick. You know, Corey, come up here. Corey has no idea what I'm doing, but I just brought him up here. Hey, grab that microphone. You'll need that microphone in just a minute. And then Robbie, come up here, buddy. Corey, you're gonna pray for me in just a minute. So Robbie this week is headed to Parris Island, South Carolina, to be joining the Marine Corps. After today, he's gonna lose all that hair. You know, that's all gone, right? And we're gonna be praying for you. You got 13 weeks of boot camp, and you'll be home for about 10 days, and then after that, we don't know what, but you know, we're gonna be praying for God's direction and all that. And you've been very involved here at our church, and mom and dad, they're super proud back there. And so they had no idea. None of you guys know, you know, had no idea I could do this. But you know, we kind of had a little send-off party last Saturday. Proud of you, Robbie. You know, as you go, under the flag of our country, but also, you know, in the banner of Jesus. You know, and we'll be praying for wisdom, godly discernment, and as you go in that world, for, you know, for the sacrifice, you know, giving your time and whatever that takes us, you know. So thank you for serving our country and for serving us. Can we just pray for him real quick? Yeah, let's give it up right there. Yeah. Involved in the youth ministry, and so I just thought it'd be appropriate for Corey, you know, just to pray for him, and then we can jump right into the message. So why don't you join us?
Lord, thank you so much for Robbie. Thank you for his leadership that he gave as a student and as a leader as well, Lord. We just pray that as he takes this next step in his life, Lord, that you just protect him, that you'd watch over him, Lord, that you would also give him the confidence and the boldness to share his faith with others that are lost in this world, Lord. I just pray that you would make him just be a huge impact to so many other people, God. And thank you for his sacrifice, Lord. It is one that not many take, but that we are so grateful for those that do. And God, we just thank you again for the whole Schenectady family and the legacy that they've left, not only with Robbie here, but also his dad and his grandparents who are all Marines. And so we just pray that you would keep him safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're leaving on Tuesday?
Yes.
Tuesday. All right, y'all be praying for Robbie. All right, let's give it up one more time for these guys. So before we jump into the message, I just want to say we're in our third week coming up, in our 21 days of prayer, and so this is our last, you know, we're at the final, you know, stretch here, and pray that you stay engaged with all that we have going on in the 21 days. This week, we're really going to unpack some things in our daily devotions on Facebook, YouTube, or you can go to latepointprayer.org, all those daily devotions that I put out every day. So hopefully really leaning in, we're going to unlock some things about prayer, and hopefully will help you take your prayer to another level. And so it could be a real good week. And then also want to say this, we are kicking off our fast tomorrow. This is our corporate fast, and everyone is going to be fasting in their different ways. So I encourage you to find your fast zone. It might be a bold fast, it might be a partial fast, it might be a fast from food, it might be a fast from maybe a specific, maybe no sugar, maybe you're gonna have a sugar fast, or you're gonna do a Daniel fast, maybe you're gonna do, you know, a social media fast, or, you know, no television, no digital, you know, like a digital free week. And so whatever that looks like for you, I'm gonna encourage you to lean in And be a part of that this week. And then next Sunday at church, we will break the fast at the end of the service with communion. And so we'll end the fast next Sunday at the end of the service. And so today, get a good meal, all right? You know, bulk up, right? Whatever you gotta do, you know? And then for the week, I'm gonna encourage you to do that. And if you go to the laypointprayer.org, you will find resources there about the different type of fast, you know, and more, a little bit more details and all that stuff. So kind of do some homework today if you're trying to figure out what that is starting tomorrow. And so I pray that you'll be a part of the fast this week. And if you're a guest, again, don't forget that connection card. And if you're a regular attendee, fill out that card as well. Let us know about your visit with us today. My wife and I, about 20 years ago, went to Niagara Falls. And have we been back to Niagara Falls since then? I don't think we have. You know, so about 20 years ago, we did the Niagara Falls thing. We were newlyweds, you know, probably in our second year of marriage. And we're driving in, and we go to, of course, we stay on the Canadian side because Canadian people are more fun, I guess, right, Corey? Yeah, so the Canadian, you know, we stay on the Canadian side of the falls. It's actually the more fun side and more tourist trappy, I guess, and all the things. So if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. The American, but we couldn't afford the American side. I know, you know, real small little ministry income that I was making. And so, you know, so we find this motel in the Canadian side, and the name of it was the Pilgrim Inn, or the Pilgrim's Motel. I think it was the Pilgrim's Inn. Okay, the Pilgrim's Inn, and it sounds like a wonderful place. It was like $40 a night, and I was like, you know, Karen, and I think Karen wants to go back there someday to relive the Pilgrim's Inn. I call it the Pilgrim's Inn experience, and it's quite an experience. And so we go there, and we stay the night, and then the next morning, you know, Karen's getting ready, you know, and she's doing her hair and all that stuff. And in the middle of this, you know, getting ready, the power went out. And I said, well, that's weird. The phone line went out. So I step out in the hallway, and I noticed that the hall lights were out too. And so then I walked down to the lobby, and in the lobby, they were out. And I said, hey, he said, yeah, we know. And the breaker got tripped. I said, okay. You know, we're going to get a fix. So they got a fix. And a few minutes later, power back on. I go back to the room. I said, it's all good. So Karen, keep getting ready. And then, after a couple of minutes, the power went out again. And so, you know, I stepped back out in the hallway and everything back out. And I said, yeah, we're going to get it fixed. And I don't know what's going on. So they get it back on. And then, you know, Karen gets ready again. There's a common theme. Apparently, every time the hair blower that Karen was using, the hair dryer, she was tripping the entire hotel. And look at her and say, Karen, I think this is you. I think you're the problem. And sure enough, you know, she was. When we went down there and they said, oh yeah, no, you can't use the blow dryer. I said, well, you know, we didn't see a sign. No, it's not a sign, but anyway. I guess, you know, so we sure don't want to go back. No, okay. I got to thinking about today, you know, because in our series it's called Life Reset. And I thought about, you know, how often in our life, you know, life reset, life change, we're trying to make the change in me. We want to make those change. And how often is it, right, that you make the change, you leave church on a Sunday, say, okay, I'm gonna flip it for the good, I wanna do the right thing. And then you do good for about a day, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then you trip the breakers, right? And you're like, oh man, I messed up. And so then you get back up and you do another reset. And then you do good for about 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe you go longer, maybe you go a couple months, and then all of a sudden you trip the breakers again. And you do it over and over and over again. It gets very frustrating, right? And it's just like, man, I keep having to do a reset. You know, I've already done this once, I've already done it twice, I've done this multiple times, and I keep tripping the breakers in my life. And so today I want to talk about how to keep the change. It's all about the reset. How to keep the reset, how to keep the change in me. In fact, the title of the message is How to Break Free from Me. I'm the problem. I keep tripping. I keep falling. How do I make the change? And today I want to address two questions, two important questions as we kind of get into this message. And the first question is, why is it so hard to change some of the stubborn habits in my life? Why is it so hard? Why do I keep tripping the breakers in my life? Why do I have to constantly reset? Why can't I just reset and be good to go? So that's the first question. And the second question I want to tackle is, what does God says that it's going to take to change, to make the real change, lasting change in your life? So I want to give it, first of all, let's just answer that first question. Right? Three reasons, real quick. I'm sure there's more, but I'm going to give you my big three. And three reasons why it's difficult to change. Number one, because you've had them for a very long time. You've had them. You didn't get the way you got or the way you are overnight. It took years to get messed up in those different areas of your life. Many of those habits, patterns are actually established back in childhood for whatever reason. So today, you know that they're self-defeating, but they're familiar, like an old friend. But you know it's not good for you. And so you just had them, and it's just hard to break some old habits. You've had them for a very long time. The second reason is because you identify with them. You personalize some of your habits. You put a name to it. You've kind of resigned to the idea, to the fact that, well, you know, if you're a workaholic, you say, well, that's who I am. I'm just a workaholic. Or I'm lazy. That's who I am now. I'm just a lazy person. Or I'm aggressive. Or I'm passive. I'm just Timmy. That's just me. I'm an overeater. I'm whatever that is. That you just personalize that defect, and the fact is that's not your true identity. But you've identified, you personalized those habits in your life. The third is because Satan discourages. Satan is always speaking into your mind. He's a negative thought. You know, Satan. His name means the accuser. You know, it's always accusing us before others, gets in our head. And so, you know, he's constantly suggesting those negative thoughts. Like, hey, anytime you want to make a change, right now, he's telling you, to some of you right now, he says, you're never going to change. That's what he's telling you. He says, you're not going to change. You tried to change last time, you didn't change. You've already tripped the breakers once, twice, 100 times. You know, what makes you think that this is going to get any better? You know, he constantly in your head discouraging us. You know, that's not coming from God. God never discourages us. It's coming from Satan. And so these are the things that we have to deal with. These are some of the things that are just holding us back. We got to constantly fight against. You know, and so the last couple of weeks, we talked about the battle of the mind. And we're going to kind of, I'll just touch a little bit today, but we said last week that change starts with choosing what you're going to think about. That changing starts with the mindset. It starts here. It starts between the ears. It starts there. If you want to make a change in behavior and emotions, you got to start with the way you think. And so if you missed the last couple of weeks, I encourage you to go online and to catch up and see how your mindset plays a very important role in the way of decisions that you're making. It starts in your mind. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4 today. We've already looked at this several times, but I want to look at this again, kind of like a key passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. The Bible says, since you have heard about Jesus, you've learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Verse 25, we haven't read these verses, but I want to read these today. Bible says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. We talked about foothold the last couple of weeks, and anger is one of those ways that you're giving the devil a foothold. So don't give a foothold to the devil with your anger. And so now, here's what I want to do. I want to take this scripture and some others. I want to talk about four biblical principles that you have to follow if you want to see lasting change in your life. If you want to see lasting change in your life, does it mean that the breakers might still trip? Yep. The breakers might still trip down the road. But you get back up. You get back up. But these are the things that are required. These are not just good ideas. These are requirements. If you really want to see lasting change in your life, these are the four things. And I'm going to challenge you, you know, that you would take these and apply it to your life. Here's the first point, if you're taking notes. The very first one is this. Lasting change requires learning and facing the truth. Lasting change requires learning and facing the truth. You can't have positive change on negative ideas and on lies and false teaching. Change always starts with the truth, but there's two important parts to this. You've got to learn it, you've got to get it, and then you've got to face it. You've got to face it. Two different things, so important. I want to talk about both of those ideas. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. It says, we got to get the truth and then never sell it, never reject it, never get rid of it, right? You got to get the truth and never sell it. You've got to face it. Oftentimes we don't want to face it. Oftentimes we hear the truth, but we don't want to face the music. We don't want to face the reality of the truth that we just heard. See, the secret to personal change in your life, hey, the secret's not willpower. Now, willpower, it might work for a little while, but then over time, it's going to go away. It won't work for the rest of your life. The secret to personal change is not pills that you have to take or resolutions or gimmicks and all these things. No, the secret is knowing and facing the truth about you, about God, about relationship, about family, about life, about problems, about your past. It's learning and facing the truth. Jesus said, hey, whenever you know the truth, when you know the truth will what? Set you free. We talked about that last week. Oftentimes, though, we don't want to face the truth. We don't want to, because sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. Someone once said this, the truth will set you free, but first it'll make you miserable. That's true, right? It's painful to hear the truth. It's painful sometimes to face the truth about me, because we want to believe that everything going on in my life is going great. That it's all good. But deep down, no, it's not. And so we live in denial. We're not facing the truth. You see, the people of Israel, in Isaiah chapter 30, they would tell the prophets, the Bible said in verse 10, they tell the prophets, say, don't tell us what's right. You know, tell us nice things. You know, hey, tell us lies. Can you imagine coming to church and I just tell you nice things? You know, make you feel good about yourself. You know, a little pat on the back, hey, good job. You know, go get them, kid. You know? They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want their toes to be stepped on. You know, and every now and then it's good to get your toes stepped on. Every now and then it's like, man, that truth hurts. That was painful, but I needed to hear it. I needed to hear the truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we claim we have no sin, he said, hey, we're only fooling ourselves. We're only kidding ourselves. And we're not living in the truth. So this is the first requirement. This is the first part of change. You have to admit that you've got a problem. And that problem is me. That problem is you. You've got to admit it. You can't blame anybody else. You know, you've got to say, this is a bad habit. This is a pattern in my life. This is a bad attitude. And we're fooling ourselves if we're refusing to accept the truth. Now, if you don't get this, if you don't get anything else I say this morning, get this. If you're taking notes, behind every self-defeating defect in your life is a lie that you're believing. Behind every self-defeating defect is a lie that I'm believing. It's a lie. That's why it's self-defeating. Because it's based on a lie. You might be this morning believing a lie about happiness and what brings happiness in your life. You might be believing a lie about God and what he's really like. You might be believing a lie about yourself. You might be believing a lie about your past. You might be believing a lie about other people. You might be believing a lie about what real success looks like. You might be believing a lie about what's going on in your life right now. You're not in the reality of what the truth is. And you're just believing a lie. You think everything's okay when it's not okay. And this is the first requirement. The first requirement for personal change is to learn the truth and to face the truth about myself. Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus says we have to sanctify them by the truth. By the way, what's the word sanctify? The word sanctify, it means, if you're taking notes, it means to set apart. To set apart, it means to grow up, to be more like Christ, to change, to get a reset. You're sanctified. Sanctify them by the truth. But look at the second part of the verse. What's the truth? Your word. Your word is truth. This is God's truth, right? Hey, the more you get in his word, the more you're going to change. Plain and simple. The more you get in the word, the more you're going to be transformed. The more you get in the word, the more you're going to be sanctified, set apart. You're going to be made new. You're going to reset areas that you want in your life. You've got to get in the word. If your thought is, well, you know, I get the word on Sunday, Scott. You know, I come and I come to church, I get the word, but that's not enough. If you're just coming to church just to get a religious pill, it's not going to satisfy all week. That, you know, this might be, that, you know, when you come to church on Sunday, it's like getting a big meal. But tomorrow, guess what? You're going to be hungry. You know, and so if this was an actual meal, not this week, we're supposed to be fasting this week, but if it was a regular meal, guess what? What will you do tomorrow if you're hungry? You make another meal. You eat. God's word. We're to crave it. Bible says we're to crave it like newborn babes. As they crave for milk, we're to crave for the milk of God's word. Because it's the word of God that does the changing. You want to change your thinking. It's the word of God that does all of that. And so when it comes to personal change, the Bible is the manual for resetting your life. I love in 2 Timothy chapter 3, very practical. Can I give it four practical ways how the Bible helps us, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture, that's Old Testament, that's New Testament, that's the entire Bible, right? All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true. Look at that word true. It's going to show us what's right. And then it's going to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. That's the second thing it does. It shows what's right. It shows us, it points out what's out of whack in our lives, what messed up. Then number three, it corrects us when we're wrong. It doesn't just point out what's wrong, it shows us how to get back on the path. And then it teaches us to do what is right. That's the fourth thing. It's teaching us, the scripture is teaching us how to stay on the path. The fourth thing, that's what the scripture does. It shows us the path to walk on. It shows us where we got off the path. Then it shows us how to get back on the path. And then it shows us how to stay on the path. That's what it does. That's what God does. And so the scripture is all here for us. And look at verse 17. God is using it. What's it? God's using the scripture to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. There is not a book in this world that will do what the Bible does in your life. You can gather all the self-help books, all the leadership books, and all good stuff out there. I'm not anti-leadership or anti-self-help, but I'm telling you, the real milk, the real power is in the Word of God. And so I hope that this week, if you haven't, part of our spiritual emphasis as we kind of kick off the year with 21 days, you know, as you pray, I hope that you're in the Word. You know, prayer is a response to God speaking to us. And how does God speak to us? Through the Word. Through the Word. And as you spend time in God's Word, we're able to respond back in prayer to His Word. And so I pray that this week, get in the habit of reading the Word of God every day, every day. You got to face it. You got to change. You got to face it. You got to learn it. You got to face it. God's Word is like a mirror. It's going to show you the good and the bad and the ugly of your life. It's going to show it all. And you've got to get in the Word so that it can show you, so that you can face the truth of God's Word. Here's the second one. Second requirement. Lasting change requires new thinking. It requires new thinking. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've talked a lot already the last couple of weeks. But I do want to reemphasize this thought. If you're taking notes, you aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. Now, you know, the early service, they didn't need me to take my time on this. They were still kind of tired. So you guys had that extra hour of beauty sleep, so hopefully that rings in a little bit quicker, right? But it's on paper, it's on the screen. Let me unpack it a little bit more, let it marinate. Right? You aren't what you think you are. Oftentimes we have all these false ideas of who we are. But what you do think, and however you're thinking, whether they're true or not, that's who you are. That's who you are. You become that. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we're taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds. You see, the battle for change in your life is won or lost in your mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, I love this. He said, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Have the same attitude, the same mindset that Christ Jesus had. Remember, you know, choosing, making those decisions is the beginning of changing. Choosing is the beginning of changing. And when you begin to put on the mind of Christ, That's what happened. You begin to think like he does. And then when you begin to think like he does, then you will start to see your defect, those flaws, those sinful things in your life, you'll start to see it in a very different light. I'll say that again. When you change the way you think and you begin to think God's thoughts, the way Christ sees you, the way God sees you, when you begin to put on the mind of Christ, then you think what he does. When you begin to think how he thinks, then you begin to see those defects, those flaws in your life, and you begin to see it in a different light. But this is what we do, though. We don't put on the mind of Christ. We like to compare our mess to other people's messes, don't we? And then we're like, you know what? I'm not doing so bad. It's one of the reasons why, growing up, some of you might remember this, but one of the most popular shows, everybody watched it, it was on prime time, you know, usually around 7 o'clock at night. It was called The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. Some of you remember that show, all right? It was on. People would zero in to see how messed up the life of the Hollywood star. I think one of the reasons why we were attracted to it is that, you know what? My life isn't so bad compared to them. I mean, they're a mess. They're divorced 10 times, you know, they're in and out of rehabs. We're not to look through the eyes of others. We're to look through the eyes and the mindset and the attitude of Christ. And so, we must change the way we think. And how do we change the way we think? We talked about it the last couple of weeks. It's what we dwell on. It's what we think on. It's going back to point number one. It's learning the truth and facing the truth. You want to change the way you think? It's what your mind is feeding off of. Is it feeding off the treasures of God's word or the junk of the world? Here's the third requirement. Third requirement is this. It lasting change requires community and coaching. There's just some things that you're never going to be able to change in your life on your own. You need others to help you. When I was first in ministry, I was at my church in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida, that just had 8 inches of snow this past week. They've had more snow in 2 days than we had all winter. I mean, crazy. People, I saw a video yesterday, someone skiing on the beach of Pensacola. They were skiing. I've never seen, I mean, that's just crazy. You know, they're sledding on surfboards down there. Those rednecks down there, they just don't know, wow. Their world has exploded. They're loving it. They're loving it. The whole week shut off, you know, shut down for the whole week. You know, maybe they had church today, or maybe, but anyway. I was down there living on staff before I was married, and I was working with at the church, and one of my co-ministry guys I worked with, his name was David Rowe. And David Rowe was about 15 years older than me, but he was a tank of a man. He held the high school at that time, and I think it's been broken since, but he held the record in high school for most weight bench press in Alabama. And so this guy was a beast of a man. He was just solid. And there was me and a couple other staff guys, there were three of us, you know, combined equal one David Rowe. And he was always talking about how strong he is, how big, you know, I mean, you don't want to mess with this guy, you know. And one day, my friend Tim Payne, who you've all met before, some of you have seen him, who's on I guess when he did a video for me on 50th birthday last month, he was on that video. Tim Payne's about this tall. And Tim Payne had always the wildest ideas. And it sounds great at first, but always bad at the end. And he says, God, what if we did a sneak attack and we take down David Rowe, me and you and this other guy? And I said, All right, let's do it, because he's always talking about how strong he is, and we're going to take him down. All three of us are going to take him down. And so he was downstairs, you know, minding his own business, and we jumped him. And we tried to take him down. Eventually, after about 20 minutes, we wrestled him and we pinned him down, but not without broken ribs and scrapes and bruises all over our bodies. I mean, it was hard work, but we got it done. We got it done, and we kind of hold it to him, even to this day. We still talk about that day. Hey, it took three of us, but then he said, yeah, but it took three of you, you know, to take me down. You know, he was a beast of a man. I think about this. I think about the troubles that you have, and some of us have those areas of our lives, those habits, that you just can't handle on your own, and what you need is you need a team tackle it. You need a team tackle those problems in your life. That's why community is important. That's why you need others in your life. Because some of you are trying to take on Dave Rowe by yourself. I promise you, it ain't gonna happen. You need the team tackle it. The team tackle those issues, the team tackle those problems. The Bible says here that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he said, each of you must put off falsehood. I mean, we got to be honest. We got to stop speaking lies. We got to speak truthfully to your neighbor. By the way, that neighbor doesn't mean the person that lives next to you. Not necessarily. It means someone that's your friend, your brother or sister in Christ, somebody you're close to. It says, we got to speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. We all need each other. We all belong to each other. You don't belong to your neighbor, you belong to the body of Christ. And here's the deal. You can't, if you take a note, you can't become without belonging. And some of you are just trying to tackle the world by yourself. You're just not going to get there. You need people in your life to team tackle it, to take it down, to do it with others. That's why small groups are important. We're kicking off this week life groups. At the end of the service, we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But life groups, so important. Getting life groups. I'm not saying that's the only way. Some of you got other ways. Some of you are in D groups. Some of you are being mentored. Some of you might be a part of a different group in a different way. That's awesome. But you need groups in your life. You need community. And then in those spaces, you got to speak truth. You got to speak truth to your situation. Oftentimes, you're not going to get the help you need if you keep it inside of yourself. And oftentimes, we're afraid to say, by the way, I'm not saying that you go to your life group tonight or this week in front of 20 people, 15 people, and say, hey, guys, here's all my problem. And say, that's not what I'm saying. That may not be appropriate. But within that group, you might have one or two people and say, hey, I need a companion. I need someone to run alongside with me. I need someone to team tackle a problem in my life. And then you gotta speak the truth about it. Reason why we don't speak truth, men more about men on this than ladies. The ladies seem to be a little bit more open about things with each other. Men, we are guarded. We're like a vault. We don't even know where the key is. We've lost the key. Well, we're afraid that if anyone knows the secret, it's all downhill from there. I'm telling you, when you speak the truth and you can get the truth out, there's power that will come out of that. You will find power and strength in sharing that the deep issues of your life. It will be like you've opened up the closet and let the boogeyman out. You say, wow, that wasn't so hard. And then guess what happens? If one does it in that group, it empowers someone else to do it. And then you realize, oh man, we're all a hot mess. All of us are. I mean, I should name this church, instead of Lake Point Church, we should call this Hot Mess Church, because we're all about the hot mess. Every one of us. But we think oftentimes we're the only one that got the problem. Gotta speak the truth. truth will set you free, right? Here's the last one, and we're done. Lasting change requires the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can do with human energy. You can't. Only God can make those transformation change in your life. It requires the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You can no more transform yourself to be like Christ than you can transform yourself to be a tiger or a leopard. You can't transform yourself on your own power. Willpower is not enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed, reset, transformed into his glorious image. As the Spirit of the Lord works within me, I become more and more like him. More like him. As we kind of close out this message, I want to wrap it up. Big question. Here's the big question for you. It says, God, I want to change. I really do. My question is, how serious are you about the change? How serious are you? Okay, the four points were not four ideas. The requirements. And if you're serious about it, you're serious about getting into the Word of God every day, learning and facing the truth. Are you serious about it? You want to be changed? Get in the Word of God. Are you serious about it? It can require new thinking. And if you're serious about it, you're going to start thinking, hey, garbage in, garbage out. How do you change your thinking? Go back to point number one. Learning and facing the truth. God's truth. That's what it requires. Are you serious about it? If you're serious about change, then you're gonna find connection with other people, and you're gonna team tackle those problems in your life. You're gonna roll up the sleeve. It might be painful. It might be hard. But you're gonna tell the truth about it. You're gonna find that key and open up the vault. And you're gonna let it out. You're gonna confide with two or three people. Maybe one person, I don't know, but you're gonna confide. You need community. That can help you make the change in your life. And if you're serious about it, you're gonna say, Lord, I need you. I need your power. I need the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do in my life. Make the change. Stop tripping the breakers. Stop tripping the breakers. And listen, if you trip the breakers, guess what? Bible says in Proverbs that the righteous man falls down seven times and gets back up. He gets back up. He didn't stay flat on his face and say, well, I tripped the breakers, I'm done. No, the devil said, stay down. God said, get back up. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Man, God, you're preaching. Yeah, man, come on. Because I see so much. So much frustration, people say, God, I can't figure this out. It's really that simple. Get in the Word. Change your thinking. Get involved with community. Get connect with community and depend on the Holy Spirit. And we do that, God will help you to stop tripping the breakers so much. And you start to see that spiritual growth. I'm not going to see the, but over time, little by little, you'll be able to look back the last 12 months of your life and say, man, I've seen some growth. God is doing some things in me. Hey, you can break free of you. You can keep the change. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. God, help us. Help us, God. I know the frustration it is. I know I've been there. I keep resetting the breakers. I keep tripping the breakers. I trip the breakers. I seek your forgiveness. And then the next day, I trip the same breaker again. But God, I know that the same power that rose Christ from the grave, it's the same power that lives inside of me. It can help me to grow. And sure, I may fall. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to connect with others. And I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. God, we ask you today, this week, help us in our fast. Help us this week as we finish strong our 21 days. God, I pray that you will help us to see some powerful truth. Not just learn it, but to face it this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.